Let's confess our faith this afternoon using the words of Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26, found on page 876. 876 in the back of the red songbooks. Real faith trusts in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we want to begin to explore that real faith by asking, what does it mean to trust in God as our Father? Lord's Day 9. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this vale of tears. He is able to do this because he's Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. And then let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8, page 1780 in your pew Bibles. Let's read verses 4 through 8. Our focus is on verse 6 this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 8. Now about food sacrificed to idols, verse 4. So then about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols, and when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food doesn't bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. May God bless this reading of our word, his word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, again we see in Paul's ministry to the Corinthians what a giant step it is to accept the Christian faith. It's a giant leap from hanging on to so-called gods, idols, and the false narratives, the false stories of this world and our lives in it that those idols teach. Leaping from that into the story of the one true God given to us in the Bible. And embracing that as our story. That God is our God. And the world he made as our world and our lives in it as lives to give to him. It's a huge step. But true faith means stepping into a whole new world. From idols to the one true God. From the worldview of idols, which is false, to the worldview of the one true God, which is true. That God is the Father who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them. And then sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins when we, his people, turned our backs on God. And then he sent his Spirit to live in us and purify us and restore us to a state of perfection again and bring us into a perfect world again. That's the worldview of the Bible that true faith steps into. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. You step into a whole new creation. Well, we want to begin to unpack this worldview of the Bible that accepts this one true God, the Father, our Creator, the Son, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, our Restorer. That's the true narrative of this world and our lives in it. That's the true story. And we start then with what it means to embrace God, the Father, the Creator, as our Father through Christ, his Son. That's where it starts. That's where the story of Jesus starts. with God the Father and our creation, right there in Genesis 1. We don't want to step into the middle of the stream of the narrative. Faith wants to start at the beginning of the stream of God's narrative, of God's true story, Genesis. And so we want to learn what it means to trust in the God and Father who made us. It means we trust Him as our almighty Creator, first of all, and secondly, as our loving Father through Christ His Son, and thirdly, as our faithful Provider. What does it mean to trust God the Father who made you? It means that you trust Him as your almighty Creator. You accept Him as your almighty Creator. Do you believe in the three-person God who is the eternal Father, your almighty Creator? That's where the challenge of faith begins. Accepting God as your Creator. Not with accepting God as your Savior. You can't understand what salvation is about unless you learn that we need to be saved from something, and that's falling away from our Creator. True faith begins with accepting God as our Creator. But because the world is lost in the idolatry of false gods, we have to learn who this Creator is. We're ignorant of Him because of our sin. And we're addicted to idols. It's true, says Paul, an idol is nothing at all in the world. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. And that all other gods in the world besides the God of the Bible are only so-called gods. That's really an affront to other religions, isn't it? So-called gods. But it's the truth. There's only one narrative that's right, and that's the narrative of the true God, the God of the Bible. But taking that step from the world of false gods, so-called gods, to the one true God who created you and accepting Him as your God is huge. Because the so-called gods of this world are not sovereign. They're not almighty. They're limited. You can control them. They're like a genie in the bottle. These gods are invented by man. They're gods that are made in man's image. They're weak. And it leaves you in charge of your own life, or so you think. It gives you autonomy, freedom to do what you want with your life. And when you step out of that to accepting the truth of Almighty God, the Father who made heaven and earth and everything in them and made you and rules your life and made you to worship Him, to be all about Him and not all about yourself. The God who calls you to account for what you do with your life. That's a huge step. And many are not willing to take that step. But they want to stay in the illusion world, the false world of thinking they're in control and they have freedom to do what they want, which is not true because they'll be punished for that if they don't repent and return to the Lord. But you can see the huge step, the huge leap of faith it is to accept the God of the Bible, the Creator, as your Father. You're moving from one world to another. The world of self-rule where you claim independence from God. To a world of submission to the one true God where you proclaim His rights over you, His claims upon you. Wow. But that's what Paul does. He professes his own faith and the faith of all the saints. When he says in verse 6, yet for us, those lovely two words, for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. For us. And that's the question for each one of us today. Will you make that personal for you and include yourself in that us? Yet for me there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. Will you confess this God to be yours? To be your Father? The Father who created you to be your Father? Will you say, I confess God to be your creature, made in your image, made from you, made for you. I'm yours. I'm at your disposal. Use me just as you will and when and where. I give my life to you. That's really what you're doing when you accept the Creator as your God and Father. That's what makes faith such a challenge. It's impossible for us by nature to accept that challenge, to accept this God, unless the Holy Spirit opens our hearts. Because we don't want to give ourselves away. We want to hang on to ourselves, don't we? Even though it's totally reasonable to believe in the God and Father who made everything. The whole creation testifies to this one true God who made everything. All its endless beauty and complexity and diversity work together as a universe, not a multiverse, as one. There must be one creator. That's the only reality that makes sense. But even though it's reasonable, we take a huge risk. When we accept this God, the God of the Bible, the story of the Bible, it starts at the creator and our creation. When we accept this as our story and him as our God and our Father, because then you're saying, he rules over me, my life. I don't rule over my own life. He has the say over my life. I don't have the say over my own life. I can no longer say it's my body. I can choose to do with it what I want and no one can legislate for me. But instead we say, Lord, my body is your body and I will glorify you in my body. My time is yours. My talents are yours. My career is yours. My singleness is yours. My marriage is yours. My life is yours. I give everything over to you. I give up on my own autonomy. It's a lie. It's just pretend. It's an illusion I'm living under that I have independence from God. And I want to throw away that lie before it's too late and recognize you made me. You rule me. And I accept you as my ruler. I know that's the best life for me, to follow your rules, to obey your commandments, to believe your word. I say it's risky. Not because it's going to hurt you. It's going to save you to accept this God. It's risky because you have to give yourself away. That's the challenge of faith in believing God the Father as your creator. And entrusting your life to him and accepting him as your God and as your Father. That's what it means that God is the Father. Father means origin and beginning of all things. It means author. It means the one who begets, the one who gave you your life. Of course, the creation of the world and everything, it isn't just the story of God the Father, because we know God the Son was present there in Genesis 1 as the Word through whom God made everything. God spoke. That word he spoke was Jesus. And we know the eternal Spirit was present there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. He was the divine personal power in whom God made the world. So God the Father made the whole world through God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit. But God the Father is the beginner, the begetter, the author, the origin. That's what the name Father means. But for us, says the Apostle Paul, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came. What a blessed and joyful life to know and confess such a God and to be able to say from the heart, the eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, out of nothing made heaven and earth and everything in them, and still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence. When you believe this God, you finally come home to the truth about your life. You finally find it. As long as you reject this God and find refuge in false gods, so-called idols, or so-called gods that are idols, you're really running away from God and from your true self, too. You're running away from reality and looking for cover in a refuge of lies. But when you get to know this God and step out in faith and accept him, this creator, as your God, then you've come home. Indeed, the whole world is in his hands. Our God is in the heavens, says Psalm 115, verse 3. And he does whatever pleases him. Here's the challenge I lay before each of you, and God does. Will you accept such an almighty God as your Father? Will you trust in him as your ultimate dad who made you for himself and he cares for you? Will you entrust your life to his safekeeping and to his care? That's what faith is all about. Resting in God as your almighty creator. But secondly, trusting God the Father who made you means also trusting Him as your loving Father. Not just as your mighty Creator. He's the God who made me. And He made me for Himself, not for me. But it also means trusting in Him as your loving Father. And here faith meets a big problem. Because this God, our Creator, the Father, was our dad in the beginning. But we disowned Him. We said, we don't want You in the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. We want Satan to be our dad. God is no good. We turned our back on Him. We spit on Him. And He sent us away from His presence and out of His house and out of His family. And now we're strangers to God the Father. The Bible says we're His enemies. We're enemies of the Almighty Creator by nature. How do I get back in a relationship with Him? How does this Almighty Creator become my Father again? He's the Father who made me. But how does He become my Father again? And I become His child again after I've been sent out of His house? Because I spit on Him. I rejected Him. That's the big problem. That's the challenge that faith meets when you want to enter into a relationship with God the Creator as your God and Father. Because now the Almighty Creator who made you and rules your life is against you because you've turned your back on Him. You've offended Him. You've gone your own way. You've lived for this world. You've broken all His commandments. You've worshipped false gods like sex and power and work. You thought that they could do more for you than God. You didn't trust Him to be good to you. You insulted Him. You kicked Him. You cheated Him. You offended Him in every possible way. And now I want to go back home to Him and have Him as my God. How do I do that? How does that work? How can that relationship with your Creator be restored? How can the Father become your Father again? And if you try, is He even willing to take you back? I mean, look at all the sins on your record and all the ways you've offended Him. And if He is willing to take you back, at what cost? How much will it cost you for Him to take you back? Congregation, I've got wonderful news for you. And you already know this wonderful news. God the Father has done all the work required to take you back into His family and as His child. He Himself has opened up the way for you so you can be reconciled to God and experience the eternal love of your Creator. And you can call the Almighty Creator your dad. And He calls you His son, His daughter. And you know that doorway back to God is through Jesus Christ. And God Himself provided that doorway. He sent His Son into our world, into our flesh. The Son of God became the Son of Mary also at the same time in the same person. And became our brother to stand in our place and to take upon Himself our sins and our offenses against the Creator. And when I spit upon the Creator and when I call Him no good and when I say that He doesn't suit me, Jesus says, I'll take that upon Myself and make that sin, that offense against the Creator My own. I'll take the punishment too. And so that's why God the Father sent His Son into the world as our very own brother, just like us, except for sin. He did that so that Jesus could make my sins His very own and also make the Father's anger toward me His very own and take my state as one of God's enemies and become, as it were, the enemy of God. And Jesus perished for me. He perished for us in our sin and under God's wrath. Think of that. The Creator God wants so much to be in a relationship with you, His creatures, that He sent His one and only beloved Son, who never did anything wrong, into our world as one of us and put all our offenses on His Son so that His relationship to ours and ours to Him could be healed, could be restored through Christ His Son. He took His own eternal beloved Son, sent Him in our flesh, and expelled Him from His house, forsook Him, abandoned Him as an evildoer. Not because He ever did any evil, but He took our place so we could be restored to our Creator, and the Creator could become our dad again. Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation is brought back home to God the Father. Everyone who believes in Jesus says, can say, God is my Father. I am His son. I'm His daughter. And you become the child of the Almighty Creator of the universe. What a spot to be in. That's astounding love. What is man, O God, that you should be mindful of him to do this for him? How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. And so that's what the Bible says. To all who believed in Jesus, to all who accepted or received, or all who received Jesus, all who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You believe in Jesus, you have the rights of sonship. God adopts you as his child. And that's John 1 verse 12. Galatians 3:26. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Sons of God. That includes daughters of God. I can't imagine it. It's incredible. I've offended my Creator so much in the way that I've handled the life he gave me, the mind he gave me, the body he gave me, the time he gave me, the talents he gave me, the relationships he gave me, the tasks he gave me. And now he's willing to put his eternal one and only Son in that spot where we belong. Treat him as the offender. Put the curse on him so he could reach out to us and become our Father again and love us as his very own children. That's the love that surpasses knowledge. But when you put your faith in Jesus, the Creator becomes your loving Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. And brothers and sisters, that's where true faith goes. The Creator, God, calls me to believe in his Son so that through his Son, whom he loves, I can enter into a relationship with the Creator as my Father, and he loves me. And we say that's what God made us for. Yet, for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. We get to be restored to living for him again. God made me for that. And that's what he wants for my life and yours. And what I want for my life, I want him to be my dad. And I want him to rule over me and to take care of me and hold me and help me through every trial. Because he's got everything that I need. That's the only safe place to be, in the loving hands of the Creator who has become my Father. And so the alternatives for your life and mine is not between the idols, the so-called gods, and the one true God, the Father. Because you can't have a relationship with so-called gods. That's not real. The alternatives are these two. To accept God as your Father through faith in his Son, so that the Creator loves you. Or to reject his Son so that you remain an enemy of the Creator. You're against him. His wrath is upon you. But when through Jesus, your sins are forgiven, your curse is removed, and you enter into a right relationship with God the Father as your Father, a whole new world opens up for you. Now the Creator is for you, not against you. Now he will see to it that all things work for your good and nothing separates you from his love. And that's what we see thirdly. When you believe in God, the Father who made you, you trust in him as your almighty Creator, as your loving Father, but also as your faithful provider. When through Christ, the almighty Creator becomes your perfect dad, you're blessed. You have a life of perfect safety. Think about that. He's the Creator. And when he loves you, he arranges everything in your life in such a way that you will always advance. Whatever happens will always carry you forward. Because God is for you now, not against you. He loves you now. His wrath is removed from you. When he sends you good things, it's because he loves you and he cares for you. When he sends you adversity, it's because he wants to test you and stretch you and strengthen you and equip you for his service. He wants to develop you. He wants to grow you. He wants to see you imitate him more and more. It's not a punishment, but an act of paternal love. Jesus described it that way. If your heavenly Father clothes the grass of the field and feeds the sparrows who are worth only a quarter penny, how will he not also take care of you? His very own beloved children who are worth far more than that to him. So when I put my trust in this one true God, the Creator, the Father, I've got two wonderful things from God. Two wonderful attributes of God working for me, for my good. I've got his almighty power as the Creator, and I've got his unfailing love as my dad. And when you put those two things together, You've got almighty power and you've got unfailing love. You are totally safe. No matter what happens, you are totally safe. Psalm 62. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. What a difference this faith in God makes for everyday life. To trust the Creator as your Father who loves you through Christ who died for you and took away your sins from you. You're no longer your own, but you're God's. You no longer live for yourself, you live for God. You're no longer His enemy, but His child. You get up every morning and you step into a world of who knows what? Trouble? Testing? Trial? Temptation? Toil? Whatever it is, you step into my Father's world. Every day, you get out of bed. No matter what the day holds for you, when God is your Father through Jesus, say, this is my Father's world. My Father loves me. My Father's almighty. He will arrange everything for my good. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. So Apostle Paul says, once I did not know God, I was a slave to false gods. And the world was a place to try to control. A life full of worry and anxiety as I tried to put all the pieces in place and try to arrange my own life to keep myself safe. Didn't work. Just a recipe for anxiety, for stress, for despair. But now I know that God is my Father. He's the one in control. I give everything to His care. And so I can rest in the God who controls all things. And because this is my Father's world, the world is now a safe place for me to work, to play, to think, to plan, to live, to die. Congregation, in Him you can handle everything put before you. In Him everything is on your side. Even the things that come against you, because Jesus conquered the punishment and gives you the victory. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, no matter what comes against us, says Paul. In Him you're safe at all times. In Him you're free to go out and serve the Lord. One more thought from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. Where Paul the Apostle says, all things are yours, believers. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world is yours. Or life or death or the present or the future. Life is yours. Death is yours. You own it. Jesus conquered it. It's safe for you now to die. The present is yours. Jesus made it safe. The future is yours. Jesus made it safe. So that the Father is for you in everything, not against you. All things are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Even failures are yours. Even sins are yours. In this sense, Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to keep many people alive, to preserve many lives. Even our sins, He takes and uses them to advance His kingdom, to strengthen our faith and to glorify His own name. What a blessing to know God the Creator as our Father. It means everything. It's a whole new world. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, here's the challenge of faith for us. Will we give ourselves over to the Creator and trust Him to become our Father through Jesus? Not to do so, Lord, gives us the illusion still of control and being independent and having freedom, but we know that's an illusion. To do so, Lord, is safety, is comfort, is peace, is eternal love. And so move us to trust in You as our God and Father through Christ, Your Son. Lord, help us to trust You in all things and to go forward in the boldness of serving the Lord, whom we know is on our side in everything, and that all things You send work for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.